Hi, and welcome to the Museum of Chinese in America. I'm Amy, a fellow New Yorker and your tour guide for today. Now, take a deep breath, pause, and think. How many steps did it take you to get here? 10? 100? 1,000? According to ancient Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Come, take a step forward. Let's begin our journey. Look down and find the map on the ground. Stand on a city. What other cities are you connected to? The lines show how important goods traveled around the world in the past. Do you notice how different goods were popular at different times? What was popular in the 1500s, 1700s, 1800s? Now, turn to the wall, toward the glowing nameplates. This is the luminary wall of Chinese Americans who have contributed to U.S. society. Pause the tour to read some of the tiles. Unpause when you're done. Most of the tiles are about real people, but one tile on each wall is a stereotype, a common but oversimplified image of a group of people. Which tile do you think shows a stereotype? Find John/Charlie Chinaman. In the 19th century, people called all Chinese merchants John and all Chinese servants Charlie, no matter what their real names were. Why do you think stereotypes like this are hurtful? Now, turn to the opposite wall and find the photo of two men eating on a ship. Close your eyes. Pretend you're on that ship. Many of the first immigrants were from Guangzhou, a port city in China. These immigrants endured long boat rides across the Pacific Ocean with cramped spaces and illness. Each ride often took up to 8 weeks. But there were many reasons why immigrants decided to leave China. We can call these reasons push factors, because they push immigrants away from their home country. What do you think some of the reasons were? Many fled because of hunger or war, caused by the collapse of the Qing Dynasty. Think about your own home. How would you feel if you had to move hundreds of miles away? There were also many reasons why immigrants chose to come to the U.S. in particular. These are called pull factors, because they pull immigrants toward a new country. These pull factors included opportunities like the gold rush and building the Transcontinental Railroad. Find the black and white photograph above the red 1851 and 1865 signs. This is where the people building the railroad from the east met the people building from the west, right in the middle. They had a ceremony, driving in the last golden spike. Look closely. Do you notice anything strange about the photo? Where are the Chinese people? Even though 90% of the workers building from the West were Chinese, they were not allowed to participate in the ceremony. This was not the only time Americans have tried to keep the Chinese out. Please walk to the next room and look at the pictures to your right. Find the drawing of a man with the word Monopoly written on his hand, like the board game. What is he holding? A monopoly is when someone has complete control over something. What is the artist trying to say? Now look at some of the other pictures and signs. What was the U.S. trying to say about Chinese people? The U.S. passed the Chinese Exclusion Act in 1882, which limited Chinese immigration and made sure those already here could not become citizens. The laborers who built railroads, panned for gold, and dreamed the American dream were no longer allowed in the country. However, wealthier Chinese people, like merchants and scholars, were not banned by this act. Despite all the restrictions, many in the U.S. were still nervous. To control the flow of immigration, the government opened the Angel Island Immigration Station in 1910, near San Francisco. We even have a similar place in New York, called Ellis Island. Immigrants were held there for months and were asked many, many questions. Look around the room. Do you see the wooden chair? Pause the store, take off your headphones, and sit down. Listen to the questions and try your best to answer them. Unpause when you are finished. How many questions could you answer? Wait, do you feel that? I think it's an earthquake? The 1906 San Francisco earthquake destroyed City Hall, the Hall of Records, and many official documents, including birth certificates. Without these records, people could claim that they were born in the U.S. or sons of those born in the U.S. These people are called paper sons. John.
Yes, Inspector?
How many doors does your house in China have?
Two.
Who lives opposite the small door?
Zhong Yu and his wife, Li Fang.
How many houses are on your street?
Seven.
Who lives in the second house on the third street?
There is no house there.
Who is Du Guo?
My neighbor.
Describe him.
He's tall. He has three dogs.
What's his job?
He doesn't have one.
He doesn't have a job?
No.
Where do you keep your birth certificate?
I told you. It was destroyed in the San Francisco earthquake.
Mr. Wong, this is already your third week at Angel's Island. Is there anything else you want to say or admit?
No.
Fine. Where did the Chinese immigrants go after the 1855 gold rush? Walk into the next room and stand by the laundry press. There were still many Chinese laborers in the U.S. after the Chinese Exclusion Act, but no more railroads left to build. These men were generally banned from skilled trades like carpentry or welding, so they went into service trades like cooking, cleaning, or washing clothes. Many chose to open laundries. Think about how you do your own laundry. Why do you think they would open a laundry instead of other businesses? In the 1900s, you didn't need a lot to do laundry, just a washing board and some soap. That means that you didn't need a lot of money to start up the business either. But it was very hard work. Go to the wall of laundry supplies and pick up the iron if you can. How much do you think that weighs? 8 pounds! Chinese laundries used to be called the 8-pound livelihood, because most irons weighed 8 pounds. Look at the big photo of a typical laundry room and focus on the tools being used. Do you see any of those tools on the wall? Now turn to the huge black and white pictures on the furthest wall. These are photographs of a street in San Francisco's Chinatown. Try to find at least two differences. Pause the tour to look and unpause when you're ready. Two non-Chinese people were taken out and the lighting is darker. Photographers like Arnold Genth often changed or edited their photos of Chinatown to make it seem more exotic and dangerous, because danger was what many Americans expected. Chinatown became a tourist spot for slum tourism, which was when rich people would go into Chinatown and other poor neighborhoods to watch how the other half lived. They treated Chinatown like it was a zoo. Why is it harmful to view communities in this way? The idea of Chinese people being dangerous and exotic was also a big part of Hollywood in the 1900s. Walk into the next room. Now, pause the video, take off your headphones, and listen to the voice of Chinese-American actress Anna May Wong. Unpause when you want to continue. Remember the stereotypes from the first room? Many Hollywood movies included stereotypes, a common but oversimplified image, of Chinese people. Chinese characters were usually shown as sneaky, lying villains. and they weren't even played by Chinese actors. Some white actors put on yellow face, which is when non-Asian actors wear makeup to look Asian. Take a look at the video playing on the little screen. What stereotypes do you see? Pause the tour to watch and unpause when you're done. Now, walk over to the Chop Suey sign. In the 1900s, Chinatown became a place for tourists to go. Chinese restaurants translated their menus to English and began serving a dish called Chop Suey. Chop Suey was very, very popular. So popular that many non-Chinese Americans came into Chinatown just to try it. Some say that Chop Suey was Chinese diplomat Li Hongzhang's favorite dish. Others say that it was made for hungry workers to eat as the restaurant was closing. Why would all this mystery around Chop Suey be helpful for restaurant owners? Oof, thinking about all this food has given me a stomach ache. Let's head over to the general store to get some medicine. Walk forward until you're standing under the lion, then look to your right. Do you see the ladder? That's the general store. Let's go in to find what I need. A nice cup of tea will do the trick. Will you help me find the tea? Remember, don't touch. General stores like these were the first place Chinese Americans went after coming to the U.S. It's a pharmacy, post office, travel agency, and community center, all rolled into one place. Did you find the tea? If not, that's okay. I think I'm feeling a little better. But I really do want some soup. Find the star anise, dried mushrooms, and the wok. The owners of these general stores were merchants who were allowed to come into the U.S. during the Chinese Exclusion Act. Merchants would speak for the Chinese community on local issues and to the government and police. This was especially helpful to those who did not understand English. In fact, many of these immigrants didn't know how to write Chinese either, and relied on merchants to write letters home to their families. Can you think of a place that plays a similar role today?
Family and community also play important roles in many Chinese holidays, including Lunar New Year. Walk back under the lion and into the other room. Now, find the smaller lion head that's on the red table. Lion dances happen on Lunar New Year to drive away bad spirits and to bring in good ones. Find the button that says Drumming Audio. Pause the tour, take off your headphones, and press the button. Unpause when you're done. Now, walk over to the zodiac signs. Turn the metal wheel on the side until you find your sign. Different signs are said to have different characteristics or personalities. What does your animal say about you? Go over to the big row behind the glass. This was used in Chinese opera, which were musical theater performances of popular stories. Actors were dressed in flashy headdresses and costumes with brightly painted faces. Each color was meant to show a different personality. Yellow was intelligence and red was bravery. Blue was loyalty and white was evilness. What is your favorite color?
We can see some more signs and posters in the next room. Walk into the room with a big projection and find the poster that says, China First to Fight. Now find the poster that says, This Man is Your Friend. Compare these two images. Do you notice any similarities between the two? Think back to the first two rooms and the posters of Chinese Americans from the 1800s. Have the drawings and photos changed through the years? During World War II, China was on the same side as the Allies, which included England, France, and the United States. This allowed Chinese Americans a chance to fight for equal rights. A big victory came in 1943 when the Magnuson Act repealed the Chinese Exclusion Act. But it wasn't all good news. quotas made sure that only 105 Chinese people could enter every year. Take a look at other photos of Chinese Americans on the wall. Notice the way they dressed and what they were doing. Do you see any stereotypes about Chinese people in these photos? After World War II came the Red Scare, which was when the US was swept up by a fear of communism. Communism is a system where most property is owned by the government or the public, and every person is given the same amount of wealth. China's 1949 Communist Revolution stopped many Chinese students from going back home. Highly educated scientists and writers all left to come to the United States in what is known as the Brain Gate. Find the photograph of the group of women sitting on their suitcases. What do you think they're doing? All of the women have just arrived in Portland, Oregon, and are about to go to an American university with 33 other students from China. Many of these new Asian Americans joined in the fight for equal rights. Take a look at the photo of people chanting and holding signs. What are they fighting for? These protests included African Americans, Asian Americans, and people of all races who believed in equality. But the civil rights era is also when the idea of the model minority began. Asian Americans are often called the model minority and are said to be more quiet and successful. Some people thought the praise was a good thing. Why might it be bad? The media praised Asians for being quiet and obedient to put down the African Americans who were loud and determined in their fight for equal rights. The idea of the model minority was made to divide minorities. Now walk over to the video of Nixon meeting Mao, titled Nixon's Tour of Red China, and watch the video.
The government of the People's Republic of China and the government of the United States have had great differences. We will have differences in the future. But what we must do is to find a way to see that we can have differences without being enemies in war.
Did you catch the American flag flown next to the Chinese building? What do you think that means? Nixon's dramatic meeting with Chairman Mao of China was a turning point. After the 1965 Immigration Act removed quotas that limited Chinese immigration, the Chinese population in America increased tenfold. Walk over to the wooden table with photographs inside. Now read the definition of Hapa, and the writing under each photo. What was your favorite story? That's it for today. Thank you so much for visiting the Museum of Chinese in America and for letting us be one stop on your journey. You may not have traveled 1,000 li, but you did travel hundreds of years after many, many steps. Please take one more step into the lobby. We hope to see you again soon.